Talk with Maria Bailey. Join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. From the cradle to college, Maria and her expert guests offer information, tips, and tools to make the busy lives of families easier. Now, here's your host, Maria Bailey.
So, happy Easter to everyone. Hope you got your fill of Reese's eggs and your Peeps. How about Peeps? Peeps this year come in every color, every flavor. Some of them are chicks now. Some of them are bunnies. Do you ever, like, okay, so when you eat the bunny, let's admit this. Do you eat the ears off first or do you just put the whole thing in your mouth? I kind of feel guilty, like, eating the head off first or the ears. Like, so I try to start from the bottom and go up to the ears because then I don't feel like a cannibal of some sort. But anyways, that's my little Peep confidential there. But I hope you got your fill of Easter candy and that your kids found all the eggs. Maybe the golden egg had something special in it for you. And I'm excited that you have decided to share a little bit of your day and your evening with us here at Mom Talk Radio. We have a really great show lined up for you today. And as always, Mom Talk Radio is brought to you by Premama. You can now use Premama for infertility, for prenatal vitamins, for post-delivery with as a nursing mom. They have a lactation formula. And all of those different varieties of supplements that come in a flavorless, drinkable form that can be mixed in your orange juice, your smoothie, your coffee in the morning, your bottle of water. It's easy. You don't have to swallow a big old horse pill, and it gives you and your baby all the nutrients that you need. You can go to drinkpremama.com where you'll find it. It's also available on Amazon, Target.com, CVS, and a lot of specialty stores. And I'm just so appreciative that they have been bringing you Mom Talk Radio for the last 7 years. They're a really good partner of ours. Don't forget, summer's right around the corner. Time to book those summer camps. You know, it's amazing how it sneaks up on you. And before you know it, pow. You're stuck with the kids at home and wondering why you didn't book summer camps. In addition to Easter, we got Mother's Day coming up and Father's Day and all those graduations. And you know what's really exciting right about now, too, is that I'm seeing it on Facebook. A lot of kids are being accepted to college, and it's just very, very exciting. The place that I love to shop most for those college dorms is At Home. It's a superstore, and it's just a great place to shop. Check it out, athome.com. And before we break, let me just tell you about Mom TV, the place that you need to go online to when you want to see what we're doing here on Mom Talk Radio. We have videos for and by moms, everything that you can think of, all the subject matter that relates to a mom, everything for how to feed your child to product reviews. We have hundreds and thousands of mom bloggers who have reviewed products there. So if you're thinking about a stroller, go to Mom TV. If you're thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know how to prepare for back to school season, go to Mom TV. We are the place, your video destination online, where you can find and watch information that is relevant to you as a mom. It's a great place, and we hope you'll join us on momtv.com. When we return, we're going to turn our attention to the home economist. She is Brett Graff, and she's going to be joining us here on Mom Talk Radio.
Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio.
I am delighted to have with us today Brett Graff, the home economist. She is a former U.S. government economist and nationally syndicated columnist. Her publications, they're like everywhere. She starts with the Miami Herald, Chicago Tribune, goes on and on and on. She is a former correspondent for Reuters, and she's contributed to Glamour and Good Housekeeping. And her television segment, The Home Economist, ran for 4 seasons on Nightly Business Report. We're really excited to have her with us. And, like, why would anyone go into economics? But that's a whole nother show. And in addition to all of being a smart woman about, she also is the mother of two girls, and a recovering PTO officer. So welcome, Brett, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
So I kind of feel like a recovering PTO officer. What is that? Because I have a vision of my own, but I'd like to hear it from you.
Well, I just spent so much time working for the schools when my kids were little. I was, you know, I was the room parent, and then I was, you know, on the school board, and then they were in elementary school, and I went to a lot of meetings. and now they're older, and I thought, oh my God, I'm still recovering from that. But now I am excited to have used all that experience and everything I've seen, and wrote a book based on all the spending, you know, that we did that I think is actually, well, that turns out is actually could be more harmful to our kids than helpful. And a lot of it is from the competitive parenting.
Right. And your new book is called Not Buying It, correct?
Not Buying It, Stop Overspending and Start Raising Happier, Healthier, More Successful Kids. And, you know, it's what I found out is that we as parents think that when we say no to buying something, we're saying no to good health or no to education or no to safety. And that's just not the case. I found research from the National Institute of Health, from the American Academy of Pediatrics, from Cornell, from Harvard, from Stanford, that shows that all these things we're buying to get our kids ahead are actually or can actually be obstacles to the goals that we're trying to achieve.
Do you think the overspending trend started in the 80s with the boomers who, you know, their children became their Rolexes and their BMWs? I mean, is that when it started?
No, I don't think so. I think that, yes, that was when kids were status. That's when kids were like were status items. I think now parents are, it's really more of a grounded sort of parenting, but we just want our kids to be, we want to be good parents, right? We don't want to be the bad parents that treat our kids like status objects. And now we want to be great parents, and we think that the better our kids are doing, the better job we're doing. And we are scared. We're scared our kids are going to fall behind, and it goes from not making the team to staying home and doing nothing to being homeless later. I mean, our imaginations go just like that, and we're emotional, and we're terrified, and we're willing to buy anything, and we're the perfect consumer, and that's what's getting us into trouble.
I recently did some research on connected toys and smart toys, and it's amazing how much a parent will spend on a toy that is, quote, connected or educational than just regular wooden blocks, when the wooden blocks probably are just as beneficial.
I'm so glad you brought that up. A lot of these connected toys have screens, and screen time has been linked to sleep delays, language disturbances, and a lot of the blinking lights just teach instant gratification. They don't teach persistence and grit. There is no rules and no guidelines for stamping the word educational on a toy. Anyone can do it. Researchers have found at University of Delaware that kids who played with blocks frequently later tested better on measurement, judgment, and counting skills. And blocks are $15, right? And these iPods.
Right, exactly.
They're $900.
Exactly.
And the toys are expensive, too.
I was just wondering, like, how do you think that this overspending links to the feeling of entitlement that children grow up with?
I think that in terms of entitlement, there's two ways that happens. One way is a lot of us have decided that our children, or we have discovered that our children have a talent, right? And our child is excellent at sports or singing or music or drama. And the first thing that we're going to do as a parent, and as a good parent, is cultivate this talent, which involves hiring a private coach. So we discuss with this private coach our child's great talent while our child is in earshot and can hear it all. And then we showcase the talent and we put it on YouTube and we photograph it and we tell our friends. And we think our child is not just special to us, as parents always have, but that our child is special and the world should treat this child accordingly. And that is one of the reasons that kids today are answering giving narcissistic answers 30% more on personality tests. And narcissism is, when you talk about narcissism, these kids aren't clinically ill, but they just have narcissistic traits, which means they think they're smarter than other people. They think they're going to be exceptional workers. They, they're not confident, they're overconfident. And this actually leads to more failures in life than it does successes. I was surprised. I thought narcissism sounded awesome, actually. And the research said,
yeah.
Self-confidence doesn't, yeah, doesn't that sound great? Self-confidence does not lead to success.
Yeah, absolutely. So if somebody, so you have a website called thehomeeconomist.com. I'm just interested, like, if our listeners were good to go to that website, what do they find there?
Okay, well, I cover spending all over the board. I'll talk about what's recalled. You know, recently DiGiorno pizza was recalled. I'll find some trends and how we can all save money. I like to explain the economy in real people terms. Actually, economic indicators and all the numbers that the government puts out are the easiest and most helpful bits of information. They're like tiny little gifts. If you know how to read them, they're so, it's amazing. You can anyone can figure out the state of the housing market, and anyone could have figured out when the market was going to crash just by looking at a few economic indicators. And they're so easy to understand. So I like to cover that.
And you know, I want to make sure everybody, Brett. It's amazing how smart you are, and your viewpoint is just so right on when it comes to moms and parents and spending and household economics, hence why your website is called The Home Economist. I want to make sure that we get that in here. The website is The Home Economist. Had way too much chocolate today in my Easter basket.
.com.
And that's where you can find out about Brett and her new book, Not Buying It. And I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I'm sorry we're out of time. It's just such a good topic that we could go on all day. But thank you, Brett, so much for being with us. And in just a minute, when we return, we're going to be talking with Kathy Penny. She's a mom who is doing pretty amazing things with two children and her website. Delighted to turn the spotlight on one mom. She's a mother of two. She has a 5-year-old son and a 4-year-old daughter. She runs a website called pennylane.com, maybe because her last name is Penny. She is Kathy Penny. You can follow her on Twitter at Kath with a K, Penny, and find out more about her blog by going to our website because we have a link there. But I'm delighted to turn the spotlight on Kathy Penny to talk about her blog and all of the great content that we find on it, from cooking to traveling. She's a woman who's doing a lot of amazing things. And I want to welcome her, Kathy, to Mom Talk Radio. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Maria. How are you?
Good, thanks. So, Kathy, I do have to ask you, what is your favorite Easter candy?
My favorite Easter candy? You know what? The Cadbury caramel eggs.
Okay. We haven't heard that yet, so that's pretty awesome.
And I can eat a bunch of jelly beans, too.
Okay, and what's the favorite color jelly bean?
Red.
Yeah, I like the red ones, the red and the pink ones. Okay, I'm right there with you. So, Kathy, tell me a little bit about your blog.
Well, at pennylane.com, I share family recipes and family travel. My motto is kind of delicious, doesn't have to be hard. I went back to cooking school at 40 years old, and my goal is to share things with other home cooks like me they can make for their family. We're also passionate about travel. We're an international family. My husband's from Ireland, and so we kind of live by eat well and travel often, and that's what I share on my blog.
So where is your favorite place to travel?
My husband, hopefully he's not listening, but my favorite city I've visited, and this was pre-kids, was Edinburgh. I just loved Edinburgh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is a beautiful place. I ate Kentucky Fried Chicken in Edinburgh one time. I know that sounds crazy,
get
but...
out. Well, I had,
you know, there's a Kentucky Fried Chicken anywhere in the world, basically.
But yeah, I had pizza in Belfast at a little place called Little Wings after the Jimi Hendrix song, and some of the best pizza I've ever had was in Ireland.
Isn't that funny? That's funny. I was in Belfast on Orange Day, which is not a really good day to be Catholic in Belfast. And had to be escorted with, I had four children in tow to my hotel and told never to leave the hotel until the day was over. So tell me a little bit.
Head out of town. Sorry.
Yeah. So tell me, with children, where do you find it easiest and how do you find it easiest to travel with children?
Well, we try to pick kid-friendly destinations. For example, just this past Sunday, we got back from our second trip to Disney World, and we made it an eight-day road trip, so the kids knew they were going to Disney, but we also picked some educational stops along the way that I thought would be fun. We did a nature center in Baton Rouge. We did a swamp tour. We did the Kennedy Space Center, and just I'll check the websites and make sure that they've got some activities or something for the kids. And so we incorporate that into our travel.
Swamp tour. That must have been great for the kids, huh?
They were in heaven. It was a boardwalk. And so we walked through the swamp and we saw the reptiles and the bugs.
Right.
And, you know, they just got to experience something that Louisiana is famous for, something that we don't see every day. And so, yeah, it was a great adventure.
And so if moms go to your blog, will they find, like, are you chronicling those kind of adventures that we might get some ideas to do for our children?
My last two posts have actually been travel posts. We did the special dessert party for the fireworks at Disney World. So I talked about how people can do that with their families. And then I talked about visiting beaches in Turks and Caicos and how family-friendly that is. And I talk about traveling with kids in general. But my five-year-old has high-functioning autism. And so I throw in some tips on traveling with a child with autism, too. Like, for example, Disney has a wonderful disabilities pass that makes it easy for families with special needs to come and experience the magic, too.
Well, that's fantastic. And I know that I want to make sure we get this in there. Penny Lane, that's PennyLane.com is where you can go to find out more about Kathy and all of her adventures. Thanks for joining us. And we have a link to your website on Mom Talk Radio. And when we return, we're going to turn our attention to internet safety.
You succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
We have with us today on Mom Talk Radio, Brian Basin. He founded BARC, a solution to help parents work together with their children to navigate the dangers of today's digital world. He's been an entrepreneur for more than 15 years in the technology space, and he has been creating a lot of solutions for parents and children for that time. He graduated from the University of Colorado, so he's a Buffalo with a degree in physics. So that means he's a crazy man who's a Buffalo. And he currently resides in Georgia with his two children and his wife. So maybe he's picked up to be a fan of the Bulldogs. We'll have to find out. But welcome, Brian, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so do you cheer for the Buffalo or the dogs?
Well, I, you know, grew up a Buffalo fan, have to stay true to my roots.
Okay. We'll forgive you today. So Brian, I have to ask you really quickly, you have two children at home. I don't know if you celebrate Easter or not, but, you must like Easter candy. So we've been asking everyone, what is your favorite Easter candy?
Definitely Reese's peanut butter cups.
Yes. A man after my own heart. Tell us a little bit about BARC.
BARC is a tool that helps parents keep their kids safe online. So the internet obviously is an amazing place in so many ways, but it does open up the door for new risks, especially for children, you know, such as cyberbullying, sexting, and online predators. And I think most parents nowadays kind of struggle with how to balance encouraging their children to leverage the power of the internet while keeping them safe online at the same time. So what BARC does is analyzes a child's activity on social media, email, and text messaging, and then alerts their parents when it detects a potential issue.
Is it a free service or fee-based, or how does that work?
So BARC is free for the first month, and then after that, it's $9 a month per family. So unlimited children in your family, unlimited accounts that you want to connect.
And what if you have children of different ages? How do you manage that?
Sure. Yeah, you can add as many children as you like. And so for each one, you know, we recommend that as a parent, you sit down and talk with your children. Use it really as a teachable moment and sit down and talk with them about the dangers that are online and kind of being, you know, what it means to be a digital savvy digital citizen. And, you know, work together with them to connect their accounts. Again, their social media, their text messaging, their email. Just connect all of those accounts, and then BARC kind of analyzes everything behind the scenes and alerts you if there's a potential problem.
Wow, that's a pretty cool tool there. Did I miss this? Like, how does it shield your children from certain websites, or like, and the reason I asked about the different ages is because like some websites might not be appropriate for a younger child, but for a teenager, it's okay. And so I'm just wondering how you can have multiple children of multiple ages on the same computer.
Gotcha. Yeah. So what BARC is basically it analyzes conversations, right? So this is, you know, focused less on web browsing and more on things, you know, again, cyberbullying or sexting, things
like that. Gotcha.
Communication-based, right? So, I mean, kids spend so much of their time, you know, communicating via devices, and that's really opened up a lot of dangers. So, yeah, we do, though, to your point, though, we do have different settings. So you can set, you know, notification preferences for different children, depending on who they are or what you think is appropriate for them based on their age or something else. You know, what might be dangerous for one child is not necessarily so problematic for somebody who maybe is older.
And then can it help you with conversations and bullying that happen? Like, a lot of kids play inside of a virtual world, right? So beyond like Instagram or Yik Yak or any of those sites, can it help you detect the bullying inside of those virtual worlds?
Currently, we cover a wide variety of platforms, and that list grows by the day. So right now we cover Facebook, Twitter, Vine, Instagram, GroupMe, YouTube, Tumblr, Flickr, iOS text messaging, Android text messaging. I've probably forgotten a few, but that's kind of the gist of what we cover. And like I said, we're constantly adding more as parents request them.
That's very, very cool. Do you have a website? Where can moms go to find out more about BARC?
We do. Yeah, the website is www.bark.us. And yeah, it's a simple process. It takes less than a couple minutes to sign up and add your kids and, you know, help protect them online.
Thank you so much. It's really good content. I'm kind of wondering, I imagine as a dad that you saw this need because of your own children, right?
That's right. Yeah. The impetus for starting BARC was definitely my oldest son, who's kind of getting to that age where he's starting to use, you know, technology to communicate more and more. And so, you know, I was looking for a solution that would kind of strike a balance between keeping them safe, but also giving them a little bit of privacy and room to grow and develop and socialize independently. I didn't want to have to grab his phone constantly and read through everything. So this is kind of the balance that I wanted to create.
I have four children. They're all teenagers or a little bit older. And I've only, I think, ever grabbed someone's phone like one time and actually read text messages. Mm-hmm. But what I found during that experience is that so much of what they write isn't even words that I could identify. So does BARC like, you know, understand the slang that these teenagers are using?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And yes, we do. So we use basically algorithms that are developed with machine learning and data science. And so we pull in billions of messages from around the web in order to train our algorithms to understand all of those kinds of nuances and use the context of the conversation to kind of, you know, inform whether it's a problem or not, right? Because the difference between, you know, individual words or phrases, they can mean very different things depending on the context.
Yeah.
So we definitely do kind of understand that. We also have, in addition to our, you know, standard advisory board, we also have a youth advisory board that we've put together of a bunch of tweens and teens that we get kind of regular feedback on. And so they've been fantastic in helping us understand, you know, those kinds of nuances or trends that they see at their school and things like that.
Well, really, really good stuff. We have a link on Mom Talk Radio to bark.us. And Brian, I'm going to let you go now to go eat some more of those Reese eggs, and you'll save some for me. I like mine in the freezer, though. Do you like yours frozen, or do you like them at room temperature?
I have no preference. I like them any way I can get them.
Great. Okay. Well, bark.us. We got a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. Thanks, Brian, for sharing some of your day with us today. When we return, we're going to be speaking with Kimberly Stevens. She's the author of The Prodigy's Cousin, The Family Link Between Autism and Extraordinary Talent.
The number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
Kimberly Stevens, the co-author of The Prodigy's Cousin, The Family Link Between Autism and Extraordinary Talent. She is a freelance journalist, and she is a graduate of Princeton University and Harvard Law School. She's worked with her co-author to release this book just recently on March 1st, and we are delighted to have her with us today on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Kimberly.
Thanks for having me.
We have been asking everyone today, so before I get into the importance of your book, we have to be a little lighthearted here. What is your favorite Easter candy?
Oh, Cadbury eggs, for sure.
So you're the second so we're kind of tied now. We have two Cadbury eggs and two Reese eggs. So we're on the egg thing. No one has said Peeps yet. So, okay, Cadbury eggs.
Okay.
I think that may say something about you. Like, you're a very, very smart person who likes complicated candy. That's what I think it says. So tell me a little bit about, was there any kind of personal attachment to writing the book of The Prodigy's Cousin? What was your withdrawal to the subject of autism?
I very much came to this book through child prodigies. And I was, you know, I think that it's become increasingly well recognized that there's this connection between autism and certain types of extreme talent. You know, we even have stereotypes like the absent-minded professor or the Silicon Valley programmer. But child prodigies aren't typically autistic. So the idea that this sort of hidden link to autism might still have something to do with their abilities was very intriguing. And the way I came to this myself is my mom and co-author, Joanne Roussat, is a psychologist who studies these kids. So it's always been interesting to, you know, follow her research journey and talk about her ideas and then to dig into this book.
So tell me about the process of writing the book. Did you do the research? You know, like what's the big takeaway?
You know, in writing this book, my mom had been studying these kids since 1998. So she kind of had this great body of research that, you know, she was really the first person to put together such a large research cohort of these kids. And so she had this great body of research already, and I kind of dug more into the kids' stories and did some research to sort of to build around what she had already done. So it was a great team effort.
So I understand the link that child prodigies often have autistic family members. Is that because we hear of more cases of autism or more are being diagnosed, or do you honestly see that there tends to be some kind of genetic link here?
Yeah, so that's a great question because we do see the estimates of autism prevalence go up and up and up. And you know, for the prodigies, what the research has shown is that many of the kids, more than half actually, in the first couple of studies, had a close autistic relative. And what that means is close in the sense of a cousin or an uncle. So, you know, quite a close relative. And the prodigies also had shared behavioral and cognitive traits with that overlap with autism. So these tend to be things like extreme working memory and excellent attention to detail and a real passion for an area of interest. Mm-hmm. And then, as you mentioned, there's even this preliminary evidence that prodigies share a genetic link with their autistic relatives that they do not share with their more typically developing relatives.
Who would be the audience for this book?
Well, we think everyone would be interested in this book, but I think, you know, anyone who's interested in really extreme abilities and talent would be intrigued. You know, these kids are so fascinating, and the idea that a kid can compose from the car seat is pretty astounding. And we do think there is also an additional interest for people who are affected by autism, because so many of these traits that these kids have do overlap with autism. Mm-hmm. And as we kind of go into in the book, they present this really intriguing question of why is it that child prodigies have many of the strengths associated with autism, but few of the challenges? And could that question or the answer to that question prove informative for autism research?
You know what I think is interesting? I remember years ago when my children were very, very small, I had one son. He's by no means is a prodigy, but he was extremely gifted and very, very creative. And I remember talking with a counselor once that said, it takes as much effort, if not more, to parent a child that has these extraordinary talents as it does a child with some kind of learning challenge, because it's just very hard to stay up with them because they are so deeply engaged in a way. And it sounds like you may also agree with that statement.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, parenting one of these prodigies is definitely a unique path. I think it requires a lot of resourcefulness. You know, who budgets for college courses for an 8-year-old, or, you know, who's ready to find the best art teacher to work with a kid, you know, a 5-year-old with explosive talent. You know, those aren't things that parenting books can really help you out with. And I think it also can be, I think the ones who seem happiest with how they're navigating it, you know, find a support network, which can be a little bit tricky because there's not so many kids going through parallel developmental milestones to sort of swap stories with. And you end up with all these questions, you know, how are we going to handle the media? You know, what are we going to do about education for this kid that, you know, I think they really appreciate having someone to sort of sound those ideas off with.
Right. Well, thank you so much for sharing some of your day with us. Again, the book is called The Prodigy's Cousin, The Family Link Between Autism and Extraordinary Talent. Thank you, Kimberly Stevens, so much for joining us today. And when we return, we're going to turn our attention to 8 simple tools for raising great kids. I am delighted to have with us today on Mom Talk Radio a man who is going to bring you 8 simple tools for raising great kids. Only 8 things. Anyone can do it. Dr. Todd Cartmell. He is the author of the book under the same title, 8 Simple Tools for Raising Great Kids. He has an incredible background, well-educated, lives with his family in the Chicago area, and he is spending some of his day with us today. So welcome, Dr. Cartmell, to Mom Talk Radio.
Hey, Maria. Thanks for having me on.
8 simple tools. If it was only that simple, I would be so happy. But tell me about the 8 simple tools.
Well, sure. Well, these are tools that as simple as is maybe even a good word. I think as you'll see as we go through them, you know, there's you know, any parent can learn. Every parent can learn these tools. In fact, there's really many of them are things we do every day now. We just want to get good at them. But I'll describe them real quick. Mm-hmm. First one is talking. We all talk to our kids, but we want to talk in a way that's going to, you know, that they're going to want to listen to. It's going to open them up rather than close them up. Number 2 is listening. We tend to move right to talking. Sometimes we forget that we want to be the type of parent that our kids want to talk to, and that means to be a good listener, and we can all usually improve our skills there. Number three, we have influencing, just being careful and thoughtful about the words that we use and the power that's in them. As a mom and dad, our words are so powerful, and we want to use our words to remind our kids of who they are, of who God says they are. And, I like to say our words can be a fountain of life, right from Proverbs, a fountain of life for our kids. Connecting. We want to be close with our kids individually and as a family, and there's lots of things we can do as a parent to create a nice connected family atmosphere. That's number four. And number five, teaching. Boy, every one of us is in the teaching role, Jesus, if not maybe many times a day. And we want to be an effective teacher so we can teach our kids the lessons that they need to learn in a way that, will help them to learn them and retain them. Number six, encouraging. That perhaps goes without saying. Everybody loves to be encouraged, and our kids mm-hmm. are no different, and we want to be an encouraging parent. Number seven, correcting. We many times we'll be in a situation where our kids have made a bad choice of some nature, and we want to be effective at correcting them and helping them, to learn the right lesson from their choices. And finally, number eight is leading, and we want to be the type of leader in our family that our kids will want to follow. Not that they feel like they have to, they'll want to. That's even better. And when we use the preceding seven tools well, I think we turn into a pretty good leader.
Let me ask you quickly. It's so hard sometimes to control our words. And I agree with you. They are just such a powerful thing when it comes to our kids. How do you suggest we do that? And, we're stressed out at the end of the day. We're walking through the grocery store. They've been screaming at us for, 8 hours. And we just lose it as a mom. What's the solution to that?
Well, if I were to give you a quick and practical tip, it would be to take a brief pause. I tell you, there's so much power and wisdom in that. When, a lot of times as a mom or dad, you can feel your frustration beginning to rise in whatever type of a situation, and you know the types of the tone or the intensity or the volume or the words that may be part of your communication style at that point that maybe isn't always so helpful. Well, when you sense that beginning to happen right at the beginning, it is so awesome just to pause, just to stop. Just stop everything for even 2 or 3 or 4 seconds. And in that pause, your brain can do a lot of stuff. And what you really want to do is you want to kind of refocus. If I could even just say one little thing to do during a pause, besides maybe stop and take a breath, you want to ask yourself one question. If I was a kid, would I want to listen to me? Am I talking to my kids right now the way I'd want someone to talk to me? Those types of questions are really nice, kind of refocusing, recentering questions. And that just takes a couple seconds to do. And right there,
right,
begin again. You're going to be in a better spot, and you will literally have changed what that conversation is going to be like by pausing and kind of getting your own thinking.
It's totally spot on, because sometimes I hear parents and they wouldn't talk to their best friend the way they talk to their children. We are out of time, but I want to make sure I point everyone to your website, because it's really, really good advice and content and tips. And it's down to only 8 simple tools, and it's found at drtodd.net, and you can find it there. Thank you so much, Dr. Todd, for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. And I want to thank all of you for spending some of your Easter Sunday with us here on Mom Talk Radio. Go eat those Easter eggs or Cadbury eggs or whatever it is you like. I'm giving you permission. Go chow down now and enjoy one for me. I'm Maria Bailey, and I'll talk to you next week, same time, same place, right here or online at momtalkradio.com.